Welcome to another episode of Radio Sentai Gas Ranger. I'm like totally Ishida Zazeel.
Guys, I'm sorry. I can't do this. I can't. I have to go into my room, watch my stories. I can't do this. I can't do this right now. I'm sorry.
Can't believe I'm the only dude on this show.
Damn it, Auto Girl. You should have watched the episodes beforehand like we always do.
Am I going to be the only one who actually knows what to do here? Like men do?
Well, you usually do, Global Hard Perka.
That's funny. Usually, I'm the opposite of that. I do things wrong. Wow, look at that big, long tube.
Oh, my goodness.
And also, he's carrying a tube!
You know what I'm gonna do with this tube tonight.
Gross. Yeah. Cue the roll call.
We're live!
Zenkaigan!
Connect.
Loading.
Broadcast.
Equipment Wielder, Blue Caster, Cheetah Zazeel.
Explorer from the Unknown, Yellow Caster, Auto Guard.
One Little Spark of Courage, Green Caster, Global Soft Perka.
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air!
And welcome to Radio Sentai Cast Ranger, after we've gotten our genders swapped back.
Thank you, Tube Hand, for fixing that.
The Tube Hand fixed our genders?
Do you want to get into the show or not?
I'm less inclined to now.
I kind of want to know about the Tube Hand incident.
Tube Hand? You'll find out about the Tube Hand in the Radio Sentai Cast Ranger manga that I have an idea for. And it'll be 10 times better than the video game.
Actually, yeah. I really want to work on this, so...
Oh, I was going to actually ask you if you want to do it.
Why are we whispering?
What?
I hope that all got picked up.
Loud noises!
No!
I'm sorry.
Wait, I am Ultra Yellow Caster Autogar. I am not Yellow Caster, I'm Ultra Yellow Caster, because I am taking my Ultra Ranger rank to Reyo Sentai Cast Ranger now.
But you thought the shirt...
But I'm not going to make a new roll call.
No, because we'll be doing that for the revamp of Ultra Ranger, Kaiju Sentai Ultra Ranger.
What the fuck ever. So, if you couldn't figure it out from the context, our opening bit was because of the gender swap nonsense from this week's Lupin Ranger.
Scream eternally.
Right? I'm screaming externally.
Yeah.
I will be shortly.
Tube Hands!
And those watching the video version of this released episode will note that I have made some changes because the Discord chat that you are seeing now is being recorded into the episode.
Oh, that's actually a good idea.
So now the stupid shit that our live listeners say will be right viewable right there in the episode. I won't have to fucking pull it up on screen or save the file and send it to Anthony. It's going to be right there in a little corner of the window.
What if someone posts something weird on there?
Then I delete it and ban them and rage. No,
what if somebody posts something that gets us copyright striked?
Well, we'll go out on a case-by-case basis, which I call a casus.
Somebody post two pans.
Your tube hands!
Well, tube hand right now. Yeah. I still have my right hand
thing. Then shove your other hand in the other end like a Chinese finger trap!
I can't. I tried!
Lord knows how I tried. So cut off part of it!
I don't want to cut off tube hand.
We can just post whatever we want and it'll be in the video.
Oh my goodness, I'm gonna do one of my dictionary.
Wow, we are mature.
Someone wants to...
That's being deleted. Oh, that was you! That was Emily! Okay, that's a keeper.
I'm sorry! I was looking at anything to see if what's the worst thing I could post, and that's the worst thing I had.
Yep.
So that's what I put.
Anyways, welcome to Cast Ranger episode 195.
195.
Radio Senpai!
195.
Yes!
Are you just gonna start spamming us with our own thumbnails?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
God damn it. Anyways, Lane's not here because he's visiting his girlfriend.
What's a girlfriend?
So, this week we're talking about Build Episode 32, Lupin Ranger Episode 11, and to finish off Metal April, we're talking about the 2014 Kikaido reboot, a.k.a. the movie I avoided like the plague for 4 years.
Hey, it's King Turbo, or King Candy with the Infinity Gauntlet.
Wow.
But I wish I had a
does make it more sweet.
I wish I had a Photoshop version instead of that horrible doodle, but
hey, that's a good doodle.
Not really. That, look at the perspective. How could he do that without breaking his arm off?
Because he's a cartoon character, you know, like Space Jam.
This is Looney Tunes.
I'm the Edge Lord.
Anyways,
we'll have to fix that with like the
I'm sorry like for all this nonsense, guys.
That's well. This is the first week. It's a process.
Yeah, it's a trial run.
Trial.
Well, speaking of trials,
let's get into Build. So.
And my arm is actually now starting to fall asleep because of the tube hand.
No.
So, this week starts off with Sento handing the plot box back to Bat Dad.
Is that the plot?
What? And he effectively goes, yeah, thanks for saving the country. You're still a criminal, though.
Yeah, that was a fair reaction, I guess.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to start up my new / old catchphrase. Break open the pop!
Oh, right. Oh, shit, right. One hand.
Just bash it till it opens with your tube hand. Nailed it.
Nothing can beat the tube hand. I should just wear these at Anime North this year. But, like, this is my cosplay. Tube hands.
Time for tube hands.
I'm tube hands McGee.
Anyways, so they go back to the build pit, and, like, they've got the lights off because they're all dramatic about Banjo's past, and Sento actually asks her, like, why are the lights off? And she proceeds to not answer him and just, like, shut the fuck up and come look at this.
And somebody turn on the light switch. The what witch?
The plot switch.
The what witch?
Like, there's a complete lack of tact because, like, Banjo's right there on the other side of the cafe making his new best match. Protein and ramen.
Yeah, protein and ramen.
That's the best, man. Wow, that's so funny. Oh my goodness.
The Martian.
The man, the myth, the legend.
That's his final form.
Yes, Ram Martian.
Converter Cross Z protein ramen form. Let the record show that Emily is now looking down Gar's tube face.
Oh, no, no, I don't.
Now that just looks odd.
That's because you're looking at me.
The picture's there.
There's tube hands.
There's tube hands. And there's the old place.
That's the legacy tube hands.
I miss the legacy release tube hands.
I'm sorry, I was being dumb.
Okay, but yeah, this literally devolves into a terrible round of Don't Tell Banjo.
Don't Tell Banjo. There we go.
But yeah, because they're talking about it so loud, he's like, oh, what are you guys talking about? And Sento pours
boiling water on his hands.
Sento just drops all tact, pomp, and circumstance and goes, hey, Banjo, you're a fucking alien! What?
Playing the Earth, I need a friend, because I'm on the outside looking in, I'm an alien. Yes, I'm an alien.
Okay.
Your favorite Martian song.
It's not my favorite.
Shut the fuck up, damn it!
Yeah.
Did you just call him Daniel?
Damn, alien.
Oh,
damn,
I thought you said, Daniel. Shut the F up, Daniel.
Shut the front door, you damn alien.
I'm actually curious if the laptop that they're using in the scene is the same laptop that Kiria was created reprogramming on, because it looks like the same laptop.
It could probably easily be the same laptop.
Right? Yeah. The same lap prop?
Just look it up. Why are there so many scripts?
They're just looking through the files. What's this about a virus?
What's this about dangerous dem porn?
They just get sucked into Boxo treasure. And Banjo actually comes up with a series of semi-plausible reasons for why he has the Mars powers instead of just being Martian. But of course, none of that is the case.
What? Wait, what?
He's like, oh, maybe when Stark like hit me that one time with his fire that I like, got powers and stuff, you know, right?
No.
Please. What's funny about the opening now that Cross Magma is a thing is like that one opening shot where like they're all grabbing their hands toward the box. You see Cross Charge's arm in that opening still, even though Cross Charge does not exist anymore.
They're not going to change it now.
It would have been a nice touch if they did.
His hand, if it was Magma, his hand would blend into the
His hand would burn everyone else's hand.
Oh yeah, that would be kind of unfortunate.
Dude, you gotta learn how to control that.
But yeah, of course, Banjo immediately doesn't believe he's a Martian and decides to go, fuck this, and like throws the laptop. And Sala, with the dive, saves it. Oh, my God. Thank God, now someone can use this next season.
By the way, what happened to my cell phone? Oh, yeah, that got lost in the prop pit. It's just a giant pit Toei has of just props. Like motorcycles, monster suits, random side character.
Bears beats Battlestar Galactica.
But yeah.
Sorry, that's an old
ass. Need to switch that graph again. Sorry. Sento asks Sala how she got all this data, and she proceeds to go on about the holes in the security. Cue Sala flashing back to how she got the data. Holes.
No, it's like a Family Guy. How did you get these blueprints? Oh, your mother knows how to get around. Can I have the blueprints to this house? Oh, yeah, certainly.
I mean, that's kind of what she did. Like, she went and like asked people at the Institute, apparently. You know, the place Sento used to work at?
You know, the place.
Yeah, I actually forgot about that. He did used to work there.
Yeah. The place where he called Utsumi an android. Or cyborg, whatever.
You are the android.
So there's a B plot over the episode about how Kazumi's friends from Hokuto, his farm people, get kidnapped by Utsumi and they try and like bargain for the Pandora's box and the bottles. And I was surprised when he decided not to.
Nope, he has a good heart in me.
And even the people that were kidnapped were like, no, he knows he's got bigger fish to fry. And even if he did show up, we'd tell him not to save us.
And even if he did show up, we would probably be dead anyways.
Or they would, if not for Rogue's continuing to blossom redemption arc.
Rogue going rogue?
he's like, this is like the third time he's gone rogue.
Respectful.
Maybe they shouldn't have named him that.
Right?
Deserving. Who knew that he would be the one to save? Redemption. Heroics.
I have no fucking clue what you're referencing.
He is not one of them. It's a song from Lion King too.
Yep. Oh.
Disgrace.
Yeah, but instead of like being negative, it's positive. You know, like instead of like deception, disgrace.
I was like, that's what I was remembering, and I'm like, that doesn't sound like the same lines though.
He wears the mark of Scar on his face.
Okay.
That actually sounded genuinely menacing.
He asked for trouble the moment he came.
But yeah, so...
I'll be right back. Gotta go listen to that song.
So Rogue frees the Hokuto people, and Utsumi promptly gives him shit for betraying him. And, like, Rogue knocks the remote out of his hand for a sec, so I thought this was leading up to him, like, destroying it so he could be free from it.
Yeah, me too, but no.
No, in fact, Utsumi grabs it and sets it to stun, not kill, for some reason.
It has a stun mode, apparently.
Like, when he activates it, if you look close at it, you can see that only, like, 2 out of 4 lights on it are on, so it's clearly being
that
held back.
4 lights.
Oh, shit.
Meow shit.
Meow shit. Time for tube news.
No, it's not. We already did tube news.
Tube news is over.
I miss Lane.
You thought I was going to say something, were you?
I was hoping, you know, to fill the radio silence.
Because I can. Also, it's called dead air.
You're called dead air.
Dead air. Dead air.
Dead ass.
That should be the name of, like, a this final attack. Digital Air! Like, Genmu Zombie. Anyway.
That was a weird...
He's probably going to build up the resistance.
So we get a meeting between Nanba slash Mito and Bat Dad. And what's interesting about the room that they're communicating in is it no longer has the three directions. Now it's just west and east. Which means someone actually repainted it once Miss Hokuto got erased.
Did she die?
I mean, they haven't explicitly said it, but we haven't heard a freaking peep from her in weeks.
She just kind of vanished. Like, actually.
I also noticed...
We don't Hoku know.
I also noticed in the show that none of these characters are actually normal. Think of it. One's a child stuck in adult's body. One's half Martian. Sawa grew up in a, like, military school.
Military orphanage.
Yeah, military orphanage. And Sento is not even a real person. He's somebody that...
Sento is a living fan fiction.
Yeah, and Sento's the living fan fiction.
Sure. But I love how, like...
I miss Forze.
I miss Kevin.
I miss Kevin. His big eyes.
But, like, so Bad Dad has the Pandora's box, and he's like, haha, we have it, so I guess now we're gonna stop the war. And Mito slash Namba is promptly like, you're not gonna fucking use it. I'm gonna walk right back there and take it, motherfucker.
Yeah, it was pretty bold.
Bang! No. Claps his hands and cuts off the call.
It's like Mario Party. It's like, I got a star. Nope, my star now.
Except I just landed on a boo, so I'm gonna take it right back.
Yeah. War is a lot like Mario Party. Or maybe Mario Party is a lot like War.
Party has changed.
War is inevitable.
Inevitable?
Mario Party never changes.
Mario Kart. Death Race Edition.
I'm sorry.
Mario Kart Fury Road, like that one video?
We keep going on
weird tangents. Fast and the Furious Mario Kart.
Anyways.
Ish.
So we cut back to Nanba and Stark in his office. And, like, as they're talking, they do this awkward sweeping shot that shows this weird dancing cowboy thing in, like, super foreground.
The weird paper cowboy right? thing like this. Yeah, why was that there?
Right?
At first I thought that was, like, a... You know, like, sometimes on shows, like, kids shows, they have, like, a bumper that's meant to advertise another show or, like,
oh,
a
yeah?
logo. I thought that's what it
oh,
was.
Oh, yeah. Like, no. Watch Soku Cowboy now on TVLC.
And that's what I thought it was going to be. Like, it was like, oh, so they're promoing. No, that's actually
No, that's just a thing in the yeah. set. No,
the funniest,
okay.
funniest one I ever saw was with Power Rangers Samurai. It's like this really depressing scene. You see an ad for SpongeBob come over. It's like, damn it, SpongeBob, now it's not the time.
Wow. Oh, yeah, I remember that, actually.
I think it originally happened on Avatar and then people photoshopped it into different shows.
But yeah, so Stark and Nanba are talking about how Stark's next objective will be to craft the ultimate driver, which we all know by now is for Kamen Rider Evol.
Is it Kamen Rider Evol or Kamen Rider Evolution?
It's Evol, but it's clearly short for Evolution.
Okay.
And he's already got the Cobra Evol bottle in his hand, so
oh,
he's
is that
already...
what that was? Yeah. I thought it was just a Tic Tac.
You can put the tube hand down, Jar.
Never.
But no, that's the Cobra Evol bottle that he'll be using next week.
Cool.
So, Banjo is sitting at Kasumi's grave whining about his problems. And granted that there's a lot now.
How could this happen to me?
It's so weird when you look at him now and you think back to his motivation at the start of the show was just proving his innocence.
Wait a minute. She had a grave?
Apparently.
Well, he probably went to her family's grave.
Yeah.
I think it did actually say her family name on the grave. So.
And then I started thinking, like, wait, after all this shit, he's not going to still have to prove his innocence, is he?
Oh, yeah, that storyline that didn't go anywhere.
Right?
Well, it's like, hey, if you arrest me, just to remind you, I'm an alien.
Foreign diplomat.
The
diplomatic
Men in
community.
Black show up.
Oh, my goodness.
The Men in the Riders in Black.
Yeah, there's the
wait a minute. If you're an alien, that makes you an immigrant.
Let's not go there.
Civil War.
Kamen Rider Civil War.
Oh, yeah, right.
I mean, that's basically what this show is. It's Japan fighting itself.
Japan Civil War.
Yeah.
I'm still wondering. It's like,
Blaze, you might want to relook at that R.I.D. Riders in Black. Riders in Black.
It should be Rib, yeah.
Rib.
Rib. I was thinking like Robots in Disguise.
Robots in Black.
You first.
I'm sorry.
Riders in Disguise.
Hen, sheen, 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 coming right as.
Gigigigig.
Hang on.
Oh, Blaze left. Oh, no, he's here. Anyways, okay, so we get to see... So Stark and Rogue are attacking Toto, and the engine bros serve as a distraction, but we eventually get to the main fight.
Dog.
What? Oh.
Toto. Oh, God.
God damn you!
I miss the rainstone now.
He's just a boy!
So we get this really nice symbolic scene of this giant staircase.
Wait, that's what happened to Hokuto's, Prime Minister. She was the Wicked Witch of the North.
Oh my God. just melt her down and turn her into a witch full bottle.
Oh my God. The worst part is I can almost imagine that actually being a plot.
Right?
Yeah.
Muzzle!
Just followed the building road. We're off to get the Pandora, no, the Pandora box.
Follow the Skywall.
Follow the Skyroad.
Follow the Skywall.
Yeah.
There's only one road in Hokuto, and we call it the Skyroad.
We're off to see the Hokuto Vox.
We're off to see the Prime Minister, the Prime Minister of Hokuto.
We're off to see the Minister of the Box.
There was no Minister of the Box.
The Minister of the Box.
There is no Minister of the Box.
I don't know. I'm thinking Banjo would be the Scarecrow because he's a muscle brain. He wants brains. Sento would be the Tin Man, I guess, because he wants to separate himself from his old identity because he wants a heart.
If I only had.
Then who would be the Cowardly Lion?
Meitan.
I suppose.
Not Meitan. Grease.
I guess it would be Kazumi, but how would they make that fit?
Put him on.
Yeah!
I don't know!
Daughters of Adam. Sons of Adam, daughters of Eve.
Yeah, Meitan would be Dorothy, right?
Yeah. Oh, wait, hang on. I'm calling Aslan!
Ride me!
But now I want Liam Neeson as the Cowardly Lion in The Wizard of Oz reboot.
Please don't make a Wizard of Oz reboot.
Anyways, so...
I'm sorry this got strange.
So we get this really nice scene where there's this giant staircase. Stark kicks Banjo down it, and then he, comes back up as he's, giving his morale spiel. And it's really nice because it's, him climbing the stairs to match up to Stark. So we get to see him transform into Cross Magma and use both his Volcanic Attack and Volcanic Knuckle.
He will lead with pride. He will lead with strong.
But of course, Stark gets away again.
Strong.
He will be strong. I don't know who he is.
And
he will find you.
The episode ends with Kamen Rider Rogue stepping up on his daddy's desk and then pulling a scorpion and teleporting out with him, screaming, "Suckers!"
The son that you knew is gone. Take that ridiculous mask off. And what do you expect to see? The face of my son.
I miss Lane.
Hey, I made the Star Wars joke because Lane's not here.
So, next week, Kamen Rider Evol debuts. Looking forward to seeing that.
Cool.
Is that the whole episode we just went through?
Basically.
Yeah, nothing much.
It was kind of a dry episode.
We're gonna make up for it the next one, dear God.
It was really just about Banjo finding out what everyone else learned last week.
He had to get the ketchup.
What?
He had to get the ketchup.
No, I get that it's catch up, but... No.
Don't judge me.
I can make my own sandwich.
It's a giant sandwich.
Don't fucking judge me. I'll make my own damn sandwich.
Anyways, let's get to what's really important this week.
Whatever the heck happened on Lufato.
There it is. Changing pictures.
Okay.
What the actual fuck?
Okay, can we talk about the Kaijin first? Or the Gangler?
He had a great name.
Pitchcock!
Because Alfred Hitchcock and movie Pitch.
I know, I got it, but...
It seemed a little bit unfortunate for the episode about people losing their penises.
His name! And also gaining it.
I thought it was a joke because, like, he's a bird. Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds.
I'm sure that's all intentional.
I didn't notice he was supposed to be a bird. I think I had too much stuff to look at in
that
episode.
And I think the cross-dressing might be a reference to Psycho.
That is completely possible.
We have not had an episode this batshit crazy since Bonero, the episode that started this podcast.
So did this revive the podcast then?
Sure.
Did it reboot the podcast?
Possibly.
Is that some person?
So, this was an episode that started on the premise of, hey, the Lupin Rangers have been pretty popular with people. We need some propaganda to promote the Pad Rangers.
Oh my goodness, because it's World War II tactics.
Because our ability as police to do our fucking jobs rests entirely on the public's opinion of us.
Damn straight.
Why the bloody fuck do they care? Their job is to save people, not get people to like them.
Hey, nobody said this job was easy. Nobody said that they had to like you.
So, they're filming the opening bit of the movie as the episode opens, and I immediately notice that the mooks they're fighting are fucking crows from Tokuger.
Yeah, they're repaints of the crows.
Oh my god, it's amazing!
No, I actually did not notice this as someone who hasn't seen all of Tokyuger, so that's a good thing that you guys noticed. There was...
Oh no, they're my favorite mooks. There's no way I wouldn't notice them.
But they didn't do the milady.
That would have been too close.
Yeah, they're trying to keep this stuff a secret, like the reused things for the Lupin collection.
Oh my god, but like... Not only can't Keiichiro act, but they make fun of him about it the whole episode.
Yeah, it's a Keiichiro. Or Sakuya. Dude, you can't act.
Yeah, also, he's just actually bad. I actually thought Keiichiro's acting was better than Sakuya's.
I like Sakuya. He's my favorite ranger.
So, all of a sudden, in the middle of the filming, right after Sakuya gets told that there needs to be some sex appeal... Bam! He's a female. He's got the boobs.
Boom.
And he feels them and is like, they're real.
Oh my god. And this is a show for children.
I screamed, like, and I had to explain to my mom what I was watching.
Oh, that must have been fun.
No, we ended up in a conversation about how people should be allowed to still make these jokes here. Because guys dressing as girls is funny. It isn't offensive.
Well, I'm almost
Sentai tradition. For the male rangers to dress up as
like
women.
What about Bugs Bunny?
I mean,
dressing
Shinken
up as a
Red
boy?
Did it, but there's a difference between dressing up as a woman and actually being physically transformed into one.
Whoa!
I don't even want to open up this can of worms, but
yeah, that's fair.
I have the thought that this could be their way of making a comment about gender issues. I really don't want to start that issue up.
LGBT. It was funny though. It was funny. It was a good, funny episode. I laughed a lot.
I liked Herpeter the Pink Ranger when she turned into a boy. I liked her haircut.
She actually looked pretty good.
And they didn't just have other actors. It was actually them as their gender swap selves. And they did a great job to the point where if you didn't know in some of the cases.
But oh my god, it was so funny how they just went ham after it happened. They were just like... Eh, fuck it. Let's start the filming over.
Alright, we'll just restart.
Saki was having a great time as a girl. So.
Wait, perfect time for... Saki, more like, Sakuriya.
Sakimi.
Yeah, Sakimi. That's Tsukasa.
Why
that's was actually it, also why, a boy's name.
Why was it Sakimi and not the way more obvious Sakura?
I don't know. Maybe that was too obvious?
Because she wasn't pink.
Oh, maybe.
You don't know that.
That and she is. Yeah, come on.
That was a dirty joke somehow, and I don't know how, but it was.
Right?
Would you like to be compared to the weakest Naruto character ever?
There's more characters named Sakura than just the Naruto one, you freaking weeb.
Quiet, you.
I was thinking Cardcaptor Sakura.
Yeah, so was I. You mean Sakura Avalon?
Right.
No, hey, Sakura. I'm sorry to everyone on Sakura. Earth that I had to bring that up.
Hey, come on, Sakura. We gotta go find some mini-cons. Because it was the same voice as a kid from Transformers Armada.
Okay. But, oh my god, like, Sakura becomes
don't
horrifying.
Insult Captain Two Pants.
Sakura, like, becomes
you
horrifying.
Have to swim Two
Pants. But, like, oh my god, Keichiro is a female with the long-ass wig.
And then it cuts to him and he's just scowling like...
That is straight up nightmare fuel!
It was pretty freaky. Not gonna lie.
At least, like, Sakuya as a female was funny because it was so absurd. But no, Keichiro was just straight up fucking scary. Oh my god. And then Sakuya, like, pulls a Kamedon on Keichiro. Like, before he gets swapped. Where he, like, puts his hand like he's about to pick up...
The cicada block.
Right? Like, yeah. The Kamedon, they've talked about it before. Oh my god, it's so scary.
And then he makes the best face and reaction, like, ultimate cringe, yeah.
Which is pretty much my reaction at that point. And, like, every time this happens, you see the director get, like, super excited. So, everyone, including people in the show and us watching, started thinking, oh, that guy's the gangler, isn't he?
It seemed way too obvious that was the... So they did play with that, but...
Except no, it turned out the director wasn't a gangler. That was just his fetish.
Oh god, I never actually thought of that. That if he wasn't a gangler...
What's your fetish? Feet.
No, I think
we're
it
not
was
getting
gender,
into that.
Gender swapping.
Gender swapping.
Yeah, that one.
Is that a fetish?
Anything can be a fetish if you try hard enough.
That's true.
I guess that's true. Sorry, everyone.
And I just love when Sakuya does the comment on Kairi, like the Lupins are hiding up in the rafters. Kairi just like breaks down laughing and they find them. Ah, fuck!
And prepare for trouble and make it double.
Make it double D's.
That was actually good.
Sakimi?
No, okay, what's Patrick and Ichigo's name again?
Keichiro?
Yeah. Keichiro, what do you see here? 2Ds and F.
But, oh my god, so Pitchcock busts out and starts fighting them, and then we see the transformations. Nigo runs out with fucking boobs in a skirt! Oh!
It's also odd that they gave sound effects to when they were touching.
And yeah.
Show for kids! Show for kids!
Boobs can be funny.
Sure.
Look at every single anime in the last
decade.
Yeah,
like, my first thought, I mean, obviously, because I'm a huge Kero fan, is in the very first or second, I think, episode of Kero, when Kero runs to attack Aki Hinata and ends up sandwiched between her massive breasts with him looking up at her and her being like, he's so cute!
That was the first episode.
Yeah, well, I think with the second story.
Yeah, episode one,
yeah.
Dash B.
Let's just hope kids don't see this episode and start groping themselves randomly and or trying to switch genders with their friends.
I don't think they would be able to do that because it was due to gangler magic.
Right?
Presto changeo.
Oh my god.
Hold up, Lupin.
I gotta stop you right there.
So, red and pink get switched in the middle of the battle, and then they start, you know, groping themselves and whatever. And apparently the that wasn't even, like, the collection piece's power. That was just Pitchcock's actual power.
What was
the collection piece was the thing that when he activated it, everyone slipped and fell on the floor.
Oh, the gag.
So he just knew how to make people switch gender somehow.
Yeah.
That wasn't his.
That was his main ability.
Yeah.
Or like his programmed ability.
His like not his innate ability.
His prime directive.
Sure.
What Jeez.
Right.
And I love that, like, we cut to Don.
Wait, it was his fetish.
Right, yeah.
That makes sense.
We cut back to the Don for a minute, and they're like, oh, yes, the humans are doing a propaganda.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So the Don sees what, like, the gangler's doing, and he's, like, weirdly into it. It was also his fetish.
Was this whole episode just about people being weirdly into it?
Right?
Giggity. It was kind of... To me, I found this episode a bit awkward.
A bit awkward?
Just a little, yeah.
Just a little bit.
Just a teeny bit.
I could
use less...
No, that's Awa. A-W-K-A-R-D.
I thought you were trying to say ooh-woo.
No! I'm trying to do respect.
This whole episode was nothing but ooh-woo, what's this?
Notice his bulge? Ooh, what's this?
Oh, no!
Notice his bulge ranger?
Bulge ranger! I understand it the first time.
Bulge Sentai Wooger!
Oh, no!
I'm sorry.
Just... Like, when Sakuya got turned to a girl the first time, and, like, when he, like...
Apparently no one knows what the name of the actual Lupin piece
is. No one wants to know!
Well, that has nothing to do with the gender swapping!
It was based on the wheel,
It was the warrior wheel.
Yeah, the warrior... No, it was based on the wheel from RPM.
Oh, was it? I don't know.
In RPM they had a mini Zord that was just a wheel.
Help.
You could be right, I don't remember.
Help me.
So it turns out that the gangler was not the director who was being all creepy the whole episode, but the random camera guy who was Pitchcock.
That reminds me of the superhero Taihen. Hey, the real culprit is the director. The camera pans around and sees the staff. The director. Huh?
That's some Akiba Ranger shit. And then we get the first actual clever use of the Pat Megabow, where Sakuya shouts cut through it.
And then he's like, oh, we're cutting now, and then attack him.
Cut!
Print that shit.
Action!
You're just doing a lot of stuff with that too.
Let's go steal some shit.
If I, like, yell into the other end of the tube, will it, like, yell into your ear?
You will yell into his mouth.
Okay. Nando demo akoshi akira make kiseki hat into this anime pretty cute.
I don't know what is happening.
I don't either. I really don't. Sorry.
Wait, are you actually leaving?
I'm gonna pee my pants.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, you can keep talking.
Make sure not to switch genders while you're in there.
No! Wait, this is the smallest bathroom I've ever seen in my life.
Welcome to my life. So, they...
Sorry!
So the battle happens, and, like, everyone gets switched back, and then Patron Ichigo fires off the Geki Taiho, and it's at that moment that I just imagine him screaming, "Suck my freshly returned dick!"
Hey, Pitchcock! Suck it!
You like swapping dicks? Here, have mine!
Eat a dick! Hey, Pitchcock! You're a cock!
You ruined it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that one killed it. Sorry.
So Ghost reuses him, and he grows giant, and then... So Lupin Kaiser Knight shows up, and he uses his gender swap ability on the Blade Dial Fighter.
Yeah, it makes it a hammer!
And it changes it to the Hammer Dial Fighter. How, when, why, what, who, where, what the fuck even?
Did you know that hammers are female swords?
Or is the sword female and the hammer's male? No, I don't know.
The hammer is female because after they change it out, sorry about that, they change it out, Goody Go does, like, the female, like, yeah thing.
Oh my
so
god.
So I think the implication is that a hammer is female.
To quote Easy Rider, so toy sales go through the roof.
It's the Apache helicopter meme.
Well, the Hammer Dial Fighter is, like, the campaign item for this season.
I want it.
I like it because it's orange.
I don't even have anything to Lupin Ranger. I just want it.
And as I mentioned when we talked about it during Extra, it looks like Samus's ship.
Yes, Emily, I just want a girl.
No!
Oh, you want it because it's the girl dial fighter?
What can I say? I'm an ultimate shake medic. I can't even say I have a straight face.
Did you just say ultimate shake medic?
Yes.
So why don't you... So say it with a gay face.
Oh my god, this episode.
Okay.
Okay.
Now you're crossing the line. Yeah.
So, Lupin Kaiser, whatever the fuck this form is called.
It's spelled with a U, auto girl. Get right.
It's spelled auto G-R-R-R-R-R-R-L.
It's auto girl.
Auto girl.
Artemis girl.
Oh god. So,
because reality,
he does. So Lupin Kaiser, whatever the fuck, does this awesome spinning Hisatsu attack, and then after the fight, they like go back down to their civilian clothes. But even though they're back to their original genders, the two of them, the two guys, are still in the dresses they're wearing. And by the way, like Keijiro was wearing a red dress, but for some fucking reason, Sakuya was wearing a blue dress instead of a green dress. What the fuck is with that?
Because green dresses don't look nice.
Because that's your opinion. Green dresses are cruel.
Are they?
You can't have a real green dress because that's cruel.
What?
Cruella
de Vil. No, it's from If I Had $1,000,000. I'm sorry.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's
bad luck.
No, the song it starts out with I'll buy you a fur coat, but not a real fur coat. That's cruel. But then later on, there's this verse. It's all weird. And they started out with I'll buy you a green dress, but not a real green dress. That's cruel.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Explaining the joke wrecked it. I'm sorry.
I mean, we don't have much else to go on at
this point. Why are green dresses cruel?
So the director comes up, still fully erect, and pulls them back to film the rest of the movie.
Yeah, and then the movie becomes a bomb.
It so clearly sucks, but Keijiro's just sitting there loving it. That was so funny.
I love it. No.
Even Hilltop is literally like, wow, fantastic.
Amazing.
It's the greatest ever.
Have a paycheck now?
I'd like to transfer.
Yeah, can I get transferred to Austria to Berlin? Last time I checked, the Avengers were there.
I'd like to go back to playing the terrible kid shows.
I want to go back. I want to go to Wakanda.
I want
to
go.
I heard Infinity Wars being there.
That's racist.
How is that racist? He wants to be in Wakanda because Avengers Infinity War.
Avengers.
The Revengers.
The Bevengers.
Bevengers. The beverages.
The drinks.
Beverages, Infinity drinks.
Beverages.
No, beverages, Infinity refills.
Oh my god. If Cineplex doesn't actually use that, then I'm gonna be a little sad.
If he gets his hands on all six bottle caps, he can refill with his drinks just with a snap.
I'd kill for that power.
Hey, Doctor Strange had that power.
Right. So next week is about another Lupin collection piece that is a repaint of the Chronomorphers.
Okay, these collection pieces are just starting to get lazy.
Well, I mean, we knew before the series started that they were going to be repainted Sentai items. There was a picture of all of them. This is what happens when you miss Extra.
No, it's just I didn't want spoilers.
Well?
I didn't want spoilers. Because I want to be surprised.
I want to be able to see what's behind my car.
I want to be a real boy.
I want to be a hero. Pokemon Advance.
Herp-a-derp-derp-derps. Let's finish up Metal Month.
Featured topic.
The year... It's 2013.
14.
No, it was 2013.
I saw 2014 in the credits of the movie.
The year is 2013. Super Kamen Rider, Super Sentai.
Super Kamen Rider.
And Space Sheriff Superhero Tyson Z just came out.
Oh.
And what happened at the end of that credits? It was an Easter egg to the next project that Toei was working on for the Ishiomori Cinematic Universe. Or the ICU.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Basically, Kikaider Reboot is what it is in the title. A reboot of...
It's literally exactly what it says on the tin.
The Android Kikaider. It's a reboot of the original Android Kikaider TV series. Much like how Kamen Rider the First and Kamen Rider the Next were modern-day adaptations of the original Kamen Rider series and Kamen Rider V3.
Except this movie didn't come with terrible pop music.
Sadly, this movie didn't end up getting a sequel. It's been 4 years, so no sequel. Also, it took us 4 years to actually talk about this.
It's because I'm not interested.
But you guys talked about it. What you guys talked about the Gaim episode.
Because we talked about Gaim!
Yeah. I'm sorry, that was weird.
Anyways,
I was waiting this whole movie for just at least like a second cameo from Gaim, since he was in the Gaim episode.
And also, thank God this month is over. You guys don't understand. I literally binge-watched 123 episodes over the span of 3 shows.
Your month, your suggestion, your decision to marathon all the shows.
Because I'm that person.
You're that guy in Salon of Dreams.
And this movie was alright.
Yeah, it was alright.
It was sort of weird, but it was cool to watch.
Like there were cool things that I liked about it, but then there were also things that I didn't like about it.
Well, the best part was you referencing the Nickelback Spider-Man song.
No, that was me. Literally at one point I just break into, and they say that a Giro can save us. That was great. So, basically the movie is about robots being created in order to save Japan from non-specific problems.
From aliens! Because...
Like Banjo.
Because aliens.
So, we have a rebooted version of Dr. Komioji and Professor Gill.
Gilbert.
Gilbert Gottfried. I mean Gilbert Kanzaki.
Where's Paul when you need a Gilbert Gottfried?
I created Hokkaider! He's gonna destroy everything!
If I hear one more thing about a robot, I'm gonna go bolts!
Paul was here watching the movie with us, but he had to go.
Yeah, he actually did watch the movie with us.
Most of it.
He helped us make jokes.
Yeah. So the movie starts with, it almost reminds me of G3 versus V1 from Agito, where it's two robots fighting each other to see which one's better.
Who is the superior?
And the loser will submit one metapart to the winner.
Metapods! More power!
Dr. Komioji, shall act as referee so that no one gets hurt! Immediately dies.
Shit! Wait a minute, so who was the white robot then? In Metabots.
Rokusho?
Yeah, that's his name.
Yeah.
The one with the blade and the cloak?
Yes. Rokusho.
He was cool.
Yep. So, we get introduced to Dr. Komioji's children, Masaru, the younger boy, and Mitsuko, the big sister slash quote-unquote main human character of the movie.
They turned her into a weeb.
A manga-loving weeb.
More just an otaku, because a weeb is someone who's not Japanese and obsessed with Japanese culture.
Starcaster.
Let's not go there, please!
Sorry.
No, that was my fault. But yes, she is now an otaku, and her little brother is now into...
Glued to his iPad.
Yeah, glued to the iPad. Oh, Hanpei was in the movie!
Except instead of a Sherlock Holmes ninja detective motherfucker, he was just a really creepy stalker net journalist.
I want to say he was in high school. Well, on the other hand...
No, he was just a creepy reporter who stalked her to get answers about her father.
That's still not creepy.
He went to her house!
Also, I didn't like the grunts in this movie. They were...
You mean the fucking vampires from Night Trap?
I've never seen that.
That's actually getting a Switch release.
Oh, I know.
I'm so excited for that. I can finally play Night Trap.
I watched it, I watched it's videos like, of it after the Grumps played it. Like, I know that game is very tame by today's standards, but that game actually was, like, concerning to watch.
It's like a B-movie done as a game. I kind
of... It's I know it's super tame and it's not anything graphically, but, like, seeing, like, if you play badly at that game, watching those things, like, take people away and, like, strap devices to their necks and suck out their blood, it's fucking jarring. Oh, but that's just me.
This movie also took elements from Kikaider 01.
The elements of metal, because there were robots, and the element of water, because there was plot rain.
How does rain involve Kikaider 01?
I'm just making a joke because you said elements.
Oh. No, about basically Professor
Komiyoji.
Yeah, Komiyoji hid information inside his son. Masaru.
There was literally an SD card inside the boy! How the fuck did that get there?
He fucked it in him. Or when he was...
Alright, son, I want you to pull your pants down and bend over and clench real tight!
Mr. Griffin, did you learn anything about this? Stay away from that bike shop!
Where do I even with this?
Well, we can start with Kikaider's new design.
Okay, it was significantly less stupid than the old one.
It's more mechanical.
It could be hydromatic, ultramatic, it could be grease lightning!
But it wasn't.
But it wasn't! I'm sorry, but can you imagine the actual musical just having a guy come up and say, but it wasn't. And then it just ends. No.
But it wasn't. When he tries to jump onto the car, he just slips.
It was too greasy.
And yes, as people are talking about in the chat, the actor who plays Jiro in the Kikaider reboot is Frieza Amigo in Lupin Ranger versus Pato Ranger.
And if you're new, that's our nickname for his Amigo Delma.
Frieza Amigo. I thought that was his actual name.
That's because we're so fucking stupid. Because good is dumb.
Because good is dumb. Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute, I have the two hands. I can do that.
Keep firing, assholes!
Keep firing, assholes! I have that movie somewhere.
But yeah, speaking of the brother being glued to his iPad, there's this one shot where you see what he's playing, and I'm pretty sure that was fucking Time Crisis.
Just, oh,
you gotta wonder if that was an actual product placement.
This movie is just odd. Like, number one, it's an hour and, like, almost 50 minutes.
It's almost 2 hours.
It's almost a 2 hour movie. It's like, damn.
And there's not really much you can say about it. Like, you can quickly summarize it. Like, some bad guys kidnap the kids, Hokkaido saves them, some bad guys fight Kikaider again. They get the kid's SD card. Kikaider fights Hokkaider. They blow up. Kikaider walks out and then dies. The end.
They basically took all the main elements from the original show, except for having their dad being alive and having amnesia.
Thunderbruster Orb in our chat is saying that he should have been playing Mighty Action X, except this movie is from 2014, so that couldn't have been a thing.
Yeah. Wait, who's the 2014 writer again?
Gaim.
Oh, God. Oh, right. Dude. Gee, George, I wonder what show it was.
Gaim was amazing, though. I know this isn't about Gaim. This is about this.
Also, it's confirmed that the Jiro that was in the Kamen Rider Gaim episode is an alternate reality.
Fuck.
This is set in its own continuity.
Yeah. But yeah, so like... The Night Trap mooks crash through their fucking windows and kidnap the kids and take them to a helipad on top of a building that has no visible way of getting up to it. No stairs, no door, and yet they got there, and then you see people climbing up to it and down from it. Terrible building design.
My problem with the mooks is that, unlike the Shocker Grunts in Kamen Rider the First, they're not, like, revamped designs of the original movie.
They're just dudes in black suits.
Yeah, there's dudes in black suits with guns. It's, like...
uncreative.
None with spears. None with, like, daggers.
I want sneakers and naginatas, damn it! Sneakers and
naginatas!
There are a lot of letters between C and X.
Anyways.
My action K.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, okay.
So he defeats all the mons, all the mooks, and then they drop in the boss battle, which is some, like, fucking awesome rhino thing.
Played by Paul Giamatti.
No.
I am the rhino.
No, it wasn't.
It was the same year. 2014.
I thought you said it was the same ear. I was thinking, what? So Paul Giamatti's ear was the rhino?
And I just love though this one shot. He just like comes in from like Kikaider comes in from offside the screen and does this sick spinning drop kick and takes off one of its like extra limbs.
Fuck you.
And as he staggers, I actually predicted. I'm like, kick it off the roof, and then he fucking does it and knocks him in the water. Sadly, there was no explosion. I feel like that could have been an awesome shot.
I was expecting a Ninja Turtle story moment where he just implodes into himself. Like you just see this, the tiny little things. Where'd he go?
And yeah, at some point after, like right after this scene, you get close-ups of like Kikaider's like suit, and the undersuit that's on his blue side. If you look real close, particularly around the shoulder area. The color of the undersuit in that area makes it look like he's made of fucking terrible public washroom toilet or paper towels.
Yes, but I forget exactly, but I remember just squinting and thinking, those paper towels? And then Ichi said, they're very specifically the kind of paper towels you find in a horrible public washroom. And they are! That's what it looks like! And then we were joking that his conscience was tied to paper towels.
He's gonna clean up society.
And yes, he also has a conscience circuit because, of course, it's Kikaider. You can't have the conscience circuit without him. You can't have the Jiminy circuit without him.
You maybe want the backwards that? You can't have Kikaider without the Jiminy circuit?
No, you can't have the Jiminy circuit without Kikaider.
But why would you want to have the Jiminy circuit without Kikaider?
Because then he is no longer Kikaider.
I don't think you understand how sentences work, Gar.
Wait.
How late is it?
11:25 p.m.
I wasn't actually asking.
Oh crap, I forgot my picture.
Thank God, thank you so much. I was thinking about it, but then I never... Sorry, you can cut this out, sorry.
So Hattori is like, oh, nah, don't call the police. They can't be trusted. What are you basing that on?
America.
But this is Japan. Eat your hamburgers, Apollo. Sorry.
Eat your damn hamburger.
Eat your peas.
Eat your peas, Eugenio. And most importantly, don't call the cops.
So they like bring her back to this place, and they're like, "Oh, don't go inside. Make sure you lock the doors." Yes, because that will definitely stop the night trap mooks that came crashing through your fucking windows.
It just reminded me of the first Spy Kids when the Thumb Thumbs break into their house.
The Thumb Thumbs.
The what?
The minions.
Monsters made out of thumbs. What do you think?
They were a thumb with a thumb for an arm and another thumb for an arm.
I have blocked out all of that franchise.
That movie was completely chock full of body horror and scared the absolute piss out of me as a child.
So, understandable.
Free ass.
Poop is a madman.
So, of course, the kids immediately ignore that advice and go out, and then promptly get chased around the city by agents from the Matrix to Terminator music.
Agent, it totally was agents from the Matrix to Terminator agent, music.
Agent Smith.
Is that a reference to something?
It's a reference to the latest movie villain Battle Royale that came out. Just a bunch of Agent Smiths get together and they start singing.
I didn't know there was such a thing as a movie villain battle royale. That sounds cool.
Why not? Everything else is doing battle royale these days.
Oh!
There's even a board game battle royale, apparently.
Wait, what? Like a Fortnite board game?
It's not Fortnite, but I haven't read the article in detail, but apparently there is now a battle royale style board game.
It's just a bunch of weapons in a
just
box.
Just 100 players, I don't know.
It's just a bunch of weapons in a box, and you just shoot each other.
That sounds fun. So, of course, Jiro wanders in and starts fighting the agents. And after he whoops all their asses, he does this amazing stunt where he, like, throws Mitsuko into the air, grabs the kid, leaps up after her, and then catches her just in time for all of them to land in a truck that's passing by under the bridge they just leapt off.
And this leads into one of my problems with the film. The slow-mo shots.
Cover me. I'm going slow-mo.
Like, okay, it makes sense. It's a fast action movie. Of course, it'll be slow motion shots. But 75% of the fights consist of slow motion, like action scenes.
Gar, he's from the 70s. His processor is very, very slow.
It's probably running on Windows 7. Which Windows 9?
Like DOS box. There we go.
I mean, in the 70s, I don't know if Windows existed.
Negative Windows.
Doors.
Doors? Alright, we ran.
Hole in the wall.
No, guys, he's a pull string.
He's running off DOS.
That's what I said, DOS box.
He has an Atari system in. No, he's dial up.
Just. Oh, you poor young kids that didn't know the age of dial up.
I know dial up.
I knew it way past the age it was supposed to, because way back in the wilderness.
I get that dial up. So internet back in the 70s.
But yeah, like, as they land in the truck and you see them speeding away, I just imagine Jiro shouting up at the mooks,
"Narks!"
And then he gives her this spiel about how, like, until I shut down, I will protect you. My off switch is on my back, and then, like aggressively turns around as if presenting.
See, it's right there.
I want you. It's like he's fucking Metaton.
Oh my god, you're right.
Which then led me into, like, just... Go ahead, the switch is right in my ass. Just stick your finger right in there.
There's the button. Press it.
The button's in my butt!
Butt button.
It's Chobits?
That's what Paul said when he was here.
And then... Oh, they all... One thing I actually liked about this movie. They explain... Jiro's human disguise more than the original show.
He's basically a walking and talking television.
Yes, he mentions that his whole entire body, including his clothes, are just
liquid crystal displays.
Yes, aka small little TV screens.
When they poked him, the colors changed on him.
Yeah, because in the manga, the human disguise was just a skin to him, and then, like, underneath was his. Or, like, his robot form was combat mode.
Yeah. That was really interesting. All the times he transformed in and out of his robot form, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of how, like, the Extremis armor in Iron Man 3 worked. Like, basically, like, the armor would, like just grow around them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit. Sound like Donkey Kong now.
So they're like, oh, well, it's not safe to sleep anywhere. I guess we're going to have to sleep outside. And I just wanted the kid to just look up to Jiro and go, cool, transform into tent mode.
Form of tent.
We need something to protect us from the plot rain.
Jiro's just a...
It was intense.
Jiro's just a triple changer. Human, robot,
tent. Odd. Well, not going to question it.
Hey, it's better than an Astro train. What do you turn into? Turn into a train and a spaceship. Why do you need a train?
With a name like Astro Train, what would you expect it to turn into?
A flying train.
The Polar Express.
Polar Express.
No, to sell, find Astro Train figure, repaint them as Polar Express.
So, like, while they're camping out, they're talking to Jiro, and they're, like, they're trying to learn...
We're fugitives now.
They're trying to learn, like, what his likes and dislikes are, and he's like, I dislike nothing.
I hate fruit.
And evil!
And Kamen Riders. Oh, fuck them. You know what? I hate fruit Kamen Riders. Fuck them. Also, we have a perfect idea for the thumbnail of just, like...
That one shot where he's, like, running along the beach. And he's, like, got his arms up like he's a fucking Frankenstein or a zombie.
You mean Frankenstein's monster.
I know, but everyone knows what I'm talking about when I say that.
Watch Mary Shelley's Frankenhole. It's a really underrated show that I just found out existed, and I love it.
Got your facts right. Fucker.
Get your fucks right.
Facker.
Factor.
Factor, yeah, the factor. Factor.
Hey, the fuck factor.
Hey, if you want to go complain to somebody about facts, go complain that MatPat and tell him to go make film theory and game theory good again.
I want him to make this fucking other half of his Mass Effect 3 indoctrination video, because that's the one I agree with. Anyway, so the next morning, Jiro defeats a tree star and presents the corpse of his victim to his woman.
What a fucking tree star.
I love the Land Before Time.
My favorite was Spike and how he didn't talk. I am Jiro. I don't know why I gave him this voice and why I'm not using the two panda speak as a robot.
That's racist, isn't it?
It's roboticist.
No, that's a different thing.
Okay.
Anyway. So, like, as she starts talking to him more, she flashes back to the first robot her dad ever made for him, which had the same catchphrase about protecting. It, like, it almost looked like a toy of a Sklash Driver user without the gel on them, because it had, like, the round white head.
It's a teeny tiny robot with mittens and a scarf.
Oh, yeah.
So cute.
There was that scene where, like, while Jiro in the scene was getting beaten up, she was flashing back to when her little robot, while wearing the weirdly adorable mittens and scarf, was getting the shit kicked out of it by some bullies.
Stop beating on him. He's so cute. Stop being BMO.
We're threatened by cute things. It just reminds us of what we don't have.
And screw you, because your dad's rich and popular and he can make legit robots.
Why are we making bullies relatable? And we also get to see Jiro playing his guitar on a couple of instances, but not the instance I wanted, which was immediately before battle.
Oh yeah, we didn't get him like doing like a
announcing himself with guitar.
He didn't play it until the final battle with Hikaider.
Well, there was that one shot during the night where they were camping where he just played it.
Oh yeah, it was.
But my point is, he didn't play it right before fighting, which he should have.
Another problem. There weren't enough actual, like, destructoids in this movie.
There was just Escape and Hikaider.
Yeah, there was...
And the Night Trap
moves. Oh, no, there was Mari.
Oh, that's who I called Escape, because yeah. I'm pretty sure she's played by the woman who did Escape and Go Busters.
And the giant rhino.
I think her name was Marl.
No, it was Mari.
Oh, I think the subtitle said Marl.
No, it was Mari... Like, M-A-R-I, Mari.
I know how to spell Mari.
And Gray Rhino and Hikaider.
Oh, yeah, the Rhino was Gray Rhino King.
Yeah, Gray Rhino King.
Fuck.
Which he was basically just the generic tank.
Sight tank. Best match. Yeah. So.
Actually, fun little fact, Thunder Breaster. Ryder Hunter Silva was a homage to Hikaider, in which he was also
What's Ryder Hunter Silva from?
He was from Bioman.
Oh,
remember in the first Superhero Tyson film, the silver guy, like, no Ryder particles, no Sentai particles detected.
Sure.
Badass silver bounty hunter guy.
Speaking of Hikaider, he actually looked pretty cool in this, but every time you got a close-up on his face, you still get to see those weirdly disgusting lips on it.
I like the Hikaider. I love how Hikaider's design didn't really change that much. It's just, it's more of a high-quality suit.
It's just in a better resolution. And the eyes look slightly less stupid.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good to have more context on what this thing is that Ryoma put his brain into.
Yeah, basically, Professor Gills had a limp in his leg for some odd reason. They never explained that. Because
of the evil limp.
Like. The evil! Yeah.
So he literally made himself a new body.
And it was Hikaider.
And the first thing he did was snapped his cane in half.
Because he didn't need it anymore.
He's like, I no longer need this.
It was funny, because before I realized that's what was going on, you see that scene, and I'm like, haha, I am powerful enough to destroy this stick!
And then, he fights Hikaider a few times. And then Kikaider gets his arm chopped off by Mari, actually. It's like, oh, shit.
Oh, no, he ripped off my good arm. Now I only have my evil arm left.
I am Mrs. Nesbitt. You see the arm?
And, like, so the kids, like, immediately surrender to, and, like, get taken in. And at that moment, I just imagine the little kid going, not me. I don't surrender. Now I am Kikaider.
So, is that an Iron Man reference?
I have no idea.
To that weird kid that was there.
Oh, in Iron Man 3?
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
And so he starts just bails on him. He's like, wonder why? Because we're connected. Vroom, dries off. Like, fuck you, kid.
So, like, as Mitsuko is taken away, she turns to Jiro and is like, your mission is over. And I just wanted Jiro to go, okay! Shuts off. Movie over.
Just explodes. As he's walking through the woods... Someone saves him.
Shia LaBeouf.
No, Shia LaBeouf.
No, he wasn't lurking through the shadows.
Didn't someone say that it looked like marble hornets?
That was you.
Oh, it was me.
It was you.
Dear God, it's almost midnight. I'm sorry.
Because there's this one shot from Jiro's perspective as he's lying in the forest as of someone walking up to him.
Oh, no. It's the end. It's Link. He's lost in the woods. I hope I get his fire flower.
Well,
it's a Super Mario Brothers reference. But who saves him in the woods? I don't know who he actually was, but
Shia LaBeouf.
It was
Maeno, who was like the guy that the kids were heading to safeguard them.
Yeah, Maeno, aka Daisuke Ban, aka the original Jiro from the 1972 Android Kikaider.
It's the OG Ro.
It's the OG Ro. Also Inazuman. Because he also did that.
Cool.
Man, could you imagine if they tried to do a crossover? Would he get double the salary since he's playing two characters?
I don't know, actually.
I don't know.
I have a feeling he would.
Well, I don't know how that works. Like, did Mike Myers get, like, triple the salary for a gold member? Because he was like, no, it would be quadruple because he plays four characters.
Tough question. But, so...
Looking at
so the kids surrender, and the kid gets the SD card taken out of him.
Because
and then
that's how logic works.
Right? And then we discover that Project Arc is secretly Project Dark. Reference to evil organization Dark.
And Dark is an actual acronym this time.
So Jiro wakes up in like the lab of this old guy that Hattori's hanging out with, and he actually turns to him and goes... Ah, you've woken up, except you're a machine, so you don't do that.
It's
like Pearl and Steven Universe. It's like, do you just watch me sleep?
And then she just crawls away.
The more I searched, the more results I found.
That was Hattori.
When you Google, results happen. So we go back to Mitsuko, who's now just, like, resumed school life like nothing fucking happened.
Because it's like, well, they're no longer going to bug us.
Speaking of people bugging her, she's talking about her friends who were clearly annoyances to her. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to be studying abroad in America for 4 years. It's totally not so I can get away from you annoying wenches. Because they're clearly annoying her, and I don't know why they
hang out
with
her. And they're clearly
wenches. Oh, okay.
Right?
So, in short, depends on quality of an actor earning potential and script requirement rather than number of roles.
Okay. Dark Jack's film's joke. Dark stands for douchey assholes randomly kill.
What was mine? It was something kangaroo.
I don't know. I wasn't listening.
Artificial robotics kangaroo.
I remember kangaroo was in there, yeah.
I don't remember what the D stood for. Giggity.
It stands for whatever you want it to. It
stands for Paul's gun.
It stands for the...
It stands for the Man Lee.
Okay.
King of comics here, Stan Lee.
You're going to say the King of Congress.
No, King of comics is Jack Kirby.
So Hakaider confronts Kikaider, and he basically says, yeah, you belong to us, so, like, come along so we can shut you down and put you back in the basement where you belong. Or I can just destroy you myself. And Jiro promptly responds with, I choose the DLC option. Kick your ass.
I choose the Hank Hill option. By kicking your ass.
Whoa.
Whoa. And yes, he got to play his electric guitar because Jiro now has an electric guitar this time.
Yeah. No amp, though.
He is the amp.
Wouldn't surprise me. He is a TV.
Locks himself in.
He's got HDMI out.
He just needs to keep his mouth open.
I'm like, the volume knob is attached to how open his mouth is.
Wait, what?
Yeah, so, oh yeah, we, like, the scene in Lilo and Stitch where he comes in with the record player and, like, opens his mouth and the song
goes out.
Yes, Stitch with the record player.
Yes, look. We can't go on to get me suspicious. That didn't work with only audio.
So the two of them go through the wall and then Kikaider suddenly transformed. I felt that was a bit of a cop-out, but whatever.
Meh.
And then Hokkaider pulls out his gun, and it's new, and it's got four fucking barrels on it.
Four barrels on a small handgun.
I feel like that DNA splicing professor from South Park got to it. The four-assed monkey!
Why? No, it's like Nintendo. Gentlemen, we made a new product. The 2DS. Why? Like, there's just nothing. It's just he's...
Profit!
Like, he's actually, like, wondering. It's like, why did we make this?
So...
But yeah, final fight happens with Kikaider and Hokkaider, which leads to more questions, like... Or, which leads to another problem with this movie, and that's, like, set design...
Oh yeah, because it seemed like they were going between floors, and it didn't make any sense.
It was very hard to keep track of where they were on, like, a height, like, were they in the basement, were they on the surface level, were they in a building higher up? It got really hard to keep track of.
Like, it didn't help that, like, you could clearly tell it was, like, they were just in a, like, a studio somewhere.
It did look like a couple of different fight scenes were in the same place, but with different lighting.
And then they were just in hell.
Yeah, it's like one of the rooms that they... like, punch through was on fire.
Like, robot hell.
Robot hell.
Well, they were robots. Sorry, that was dumb.
At one point, Hokkaider goes on about, like, how androids should seek greater power. Yes! More RAM! More processing cores! We will be able to make phone calls from anywhere on the planet!
We will eat the internet.
Why is that so funny?
Just...
We will eat the internet.
It's like, how do you eat the internet? We just do.
Is that a reference to something, or did you just make up
the brilliance? They just eat the servers where web pages are stored.
Yeah, I don't know. Digimon can eat the internet. I think they can.
Ralph eats the internet.
Gar, Digimon aren't real.
Only Pokemon are real. I don't know, man. Greymon's based on Gomora.
So Hokkaider, in the middle of the fight, decides to pull a localized imp and short out his conscience circuit, which somehow doesn't affect the rest of either of them at all.
Yeah, that's not an EMP. That's something else. I don't know what it is, but...
He basically self-destruct.
No, that comes after. But, like, after he shorts out the circuit, Hokkaider basically goes hazard, where he goes berserk.
In which, this is when you notice that on his red side, like his evil side... His hand is actually more like a claw.
Nothing can stop the claw!
In which that, I actually liked. I liked how one arm was, like, I do like
so which arm design. Is your evil one, I guess?
The red one with the claw, maybe.
I don't know, maybe the one that looks like the Freddy Krueger glove?
Right. So, like, he starts approaching Mitsuko, like he's gonna attack her, and his hand gets, like, close enough to her face that he could, like, scratch her gently. You're scared of the claw. You're scared of the claw.
Start.
Does this bother you? I'm not touching you.
Yeah. He's just sort of wiggling it right in front of
me. Yeah.
Just start pulling Robert Englund's dialogue from, like, any Nightmare on Elm Street movie. It's like, come here, bitch. No, wait, that's Scary Terry.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, that's...
Come here, bitch.
If he's saying the word bitch repeatedly, then it's Scary Terry.
And then, like, eventually his good side takes back over and he, like, grabs his other hand and she's like, bad hand! Now I'm gonna eat dinner with my other hand instead of you.
Now I'm gonna eat the internet with my other hand instead of you.
I'm gonna eat the internet with my left hand.
And thus Kikaider turns off his Jiminy circuit completely by his own will, thus achieving what I like to refer to as no strings form.
Oh my god, that's great.
It's a it's like Baymax when he gets his
his medical card. Destroy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, that's when he gets emped and goes hazard. But then eventually he, like, turns it off completely himself and, like, is conscious but then has his full power. And then he promptly beats the shit out of him and then they hug it out. Kikaider then turns it into a suplex. And it just ends with them, with Kikaider setting off an electromagnetic nuke.
Killing Kikaider.
I was so okay with the movie ending right there with them just having
to pull each other up. I thought it was going to, actually.
But then you see Kikaider, like, walk out of it. I'm like, it's okay, folks. He's okay.
Don't worry. He's got to be in the ICU.
And then...
I love the double meaning of that.
In case you don't notice, the other acronym for ICU is Intensive Care Unit.
Oh.
Jokes are fun when you explain them. But, like...
Goes in for the hug.
It completely wasn't intentionally funny at all, but the funniest thing in the whole movie is, like, he walks out of the explosion like he's okay, and then...
He just falls.
He goes to hug Mitsuko and just, like, oops! And just falls past her onto the ground, like, oh! I'm not walking out of that one!
When the girl you like only sees you as a friend.
I'm sorry.
And then Jiro dies.
And weirdly, her tears, which do fall onto him, don't bring him back to life every other movie ever would have.
Because he's not human. We
thought that would happen. But humans will come back to life if you cry, right?
He is a machine.
To be human again. To be human
again. Oh my goodness.
It's when we're human again.
That's it.
Only human again. When the world finally starts making sense. I'll unwind for a change. Really? That will be strange. I can't help it if I'm a little tense.
Well, I apologize deeply for starting that.
That was gross.
No, it doesn't help that Human Again is my favorite Beauty and the Beast song.
That must suck because most people don't even know it exists.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Talk about an underdog. So anyways, the credits happen, and then we get a mid-credit scene that is probably the intent to launch the ICU. We saved his brain.
Whose brain? Professor Gill's brain?
I think that was the intention. That was the
Professor Komiyoji's?
Well, I mean, Gill was the one who put his brain into Hikaider, so it's safe to assume that it was Gill's brain they saved.
So that he can become the Hikaider Squad.
Probably.
Chances are they were going to do a sequel involving the Hikaider Squad, Gitaida, and, of course, Jiro's older brother, Kikaider Jiro.
His older, bolder, fatter son.
But, of course, you couldn't get the original Kikaider Jiro 1 to make a cameo in that movie because he sadly passed away in 2010.
Oh, that sucks.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Due to diabetes, of all things.
The deadliest villain. So yeah, that is Kikaider Reboot. It wasn't terrible.
No, I think I just need to rewatch it again.
You need to reboot it?
I need to reboot the rewatch.
What I think could have improved it is because it was about rebooting and they made multiple references to him having his off switch, I think what would have been a neat way to do it was for her to actually have to turn him off and turn him back on again. Like a machine.
Yeah.
And that's how he would have accessed his true power.
Or I think, like if she, like, pressed the button, or, like, he leans on the button, and, like, as he's about to die, he just reboots himself, and he's okay.
Yeah. You just hear the Windows boot up theme?
No, or they could have done it how every other episode of the original Kikaider series ended. Them shouting out Jiro's name, nowhere to be seen. You see him walk off playing his guitar. It's like, they can't know. If they do, I'm harming them or some shit.
Sure. And then after that mid-credit scene, the retro theme plays and we get shots from the old show.
Yes, there was a cover of, or not really cover. Yeah, it was a cover of the original theme song Go Go Kikaida. And this one's called Go Go Kikaida 2014.
It was really catchy and cool. I liked it.
Yep.
And there were still... there were stills from the original show, but it was odd because they added the Hikaider Squad. Like the
right?
Like they added the Hikaider Squad.
They had Gitaida, stuff from 01.
Bajinda.
Waruda.
And Waruda. But no Hikaider 01.
Maybe they thought they couldn't use his image because, I don't know.
It's like, if you're going to use it, like, if you're going to show stills from the sequel show...
maybe they didn't want to confuse people by showing a different hero because he looks so similar.
Maybe that could be it. But yeah, it's been 4 years since this movie came out. I actually want to see a sequel to this.
I don't regret having watched it, but it's not something I would go back and rewatch. I feel like I got all I'm going to get out of it.
Yeah. It's like The Mummy from the Dark Universe.
Oh yeah, that was going to be a thing. Well, I mean, the mummy was, but oh my god, I forgot about that.
I love that meme.
I don't know why I'm trying to, like, sound like this movie was trying to kick off a cinematic universe.
Because it really felt like it was
trying to kick off a cinematic
universe. Like, it could have led into, like, more remakes, like, Proper Inazuman, Akizma 3.
Kikaider will return.
Kikaider will return. In Defenders. No, in Mega Man.
Oh, God. So.
And that ends Metal April, so.
Yay! It's over!
So, yes, we had a really good show. A really bad show. A fantastic show for Matelder. You know what? I'm probably going to say Matelder probably wins for best show this year.
This month?
This month. Like for the theme month, but Kikaider is like the original Android Kikaider is a close second, and then it's the reboot, and then it's Kikaider 01.
Emily, any closing thoughts on Kikaider reboot?
It was very long. I know that's sort of.
It was almost 2 hours.
Yeah, it was very long, and it felt sort of like. The movie just kept adding stuff in, like, the mid to late part of it. But a lot of movies have that problem, especially hero movies.
DC Cinematic Universe.
Almost every cinematic universe has had that problem for some reason. Like, I don't know what it is.
One day the cinematic universes will just crumble.
And we'll just get
They'll all turn into one cinematic universe, so every movie you see in the theater is connected to every other
just
movie.
Just like Ready Player One, but like 10 times the chaos.
Ready Player One. I still need to see that, Ned. I haven't seen it. But anyway, sorry, blah. I thought it was good. One thing that... this is super weird, but one thing that bothered me aesthetically through the whole movie was Kikaider's head looked super freaking fragile. Like, really fragile.
And it was, because it got cracked the shit out
of. Yeah, like, exactly. Like, it looked like you could crack it with your thumb. Like, they should have had a helmet or something that slid over.
Yeah,
the thing is, they explicitly said at the start of the movie, yeah, he wasn't designed for combat.
Yeah, that's fair. But at the same time, like, he shouldn't look like one of those Game Boy Colors that's semi-transparent.
And now I'm kind of wishing that Tamashii Nations could release that SH Figuarts that they showed off.
You drop it and he just shatters into a million.
Damn it!
He's an iPhone. He's no Android, he's an iPhone.
iPhone Kikaider. Kikaider.
Ooh.
Eider.
Yeah.
I kicked her.
No, that doesn't work.
Action. I hit her. No!
I did not.
I did not.
Oh, hi, Mom.
Oh, hi, Jiro.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a Jiro who did the hitting.
Yeah.
I thought that was the implication, but I'm sorry.
Anyways, it's late. We're tired. So thank you all for joining us.
That was a very strange, very fun episode. Thank you for having me, and thank you for listening.
And so... Jikai, Neo Sentai Cast Ranger. Next week, since we're no longer doing Metal April, we will start catching up with the build side specials, and next week we will be doing the Kuma Tel Aviv versus Greece Hyper Battle video.
And you probably won't hear from me until the 200th episode, More or less because I'll probably be working and there is a convention coming up and I have to work and I have to start making plans for the 200th episode.
Plans.
I feel like
I was rambling a lot this time.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
And so, everyone, thank you for listening, liking, favoriting, subscribing, sharing, watching, doing all that fun stuff. As usual, our hijinks is primarily centered around castranger.podbean.com. As always, you can check out our YouTube channel, our Patreon, where we post our show notes, which usually include things that I noticed about the episodes that we didn't necessarily have time to discuss. So there's always something interesting there. Check out our merchandise, shirts, all kinds of neat shit with all of the individual caster color logos. And as always, we will see you next week.
Oh, wait. I forgot to mention one thing.
What?
Yes. I can't remember who commented about it. But yes, we will be talking about the Hakaider movie that came out in the 90s just in a few months from now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you and good night. Radio Sentai Cast Ranger is brought to you by our generous patrons, Oliver Nilsson, and viewers like you.